Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
Justin and Steve, love the show. This is William from Kentucky calling about an ETF, Vickers Oil Services ETF. I'll listen on the podcast.
And provides unbiased answers.
Now, oil services are going to be needed. They're going to be needed for a long time. And I think prices will probably go up.
Invest Talk. Over 30 million downloads and counting.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Selena from Minneapolis. I have about $45,000 in cash right now. I'm looking to probably invest it in purchasing a home, but I'm not quite ready yet.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, March 26, 2021. And of course, on today's program, like every program and podcast we do, our mission statement is the same, and we state it every day. And that is independent thinking and shared success. This is your insurance that the information we provide, the market reporting we give, the stock analyzing that we do, which is just a very short, very quick look at the basic numbers. It's not an in-depth. We can't do that on the air. We just can't. And anything educational we give you, we do all those things we do with the intent to give you information that you can use. Proper information, good information, solid information. And we will continue to do that. We'll do that every program. I'm Steve Peasley, and of course, I encourage you to contact us with your financial and investment questions. Yes, you get to shape the show in any direction you want it to go. As long as it's financial, I'll go with you. Just make sure you shape it that way. Okay? But you know, without you, the show is pretty darn boring. You drive it. So I really encourage you to give us a call. But let's go ahead and get started. The number, by the way, is 888-99-CHART. That's our number. You can call right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, 888-992-4278.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Michael from Redlands. I'm calling about some advice about going to the value side of mutual funds. I know you guys have both been talking about the market is making a shift, and that is very evident as of right now. But I think the value side would be a good long-term play, 7 to 10 years before I retire.
Anyway, the ticker symbol I'm interested in is the T. Rowe Price Value Mutual Fund. TRVLX is the ticker symbol. I greatly appreciate your guys' advice, and very entertaining as well. Thank you.
Yeah, that's T. Rowe Price Value Fund. And mutual funds, ETFs, if they have the name, the word value in their name, that tells you that they are not a growth fund, but a value fund. So if you wanted to play the value side of the market, you would look for those ETFs or mutual funds that have that word in them. So you could have a small cap value fund, mid cap value, large cap value, or just like T. Rowe Price just has the word value. So we need to look into their perspective to see exactly what they mean by value. But we have to be careful. You want to read what they say about the value stocks they purchase. Sometimes they wander from their perspectives to some degree. And sometimes the perspective says, well, 60% of the stocks in the portfolio will be value, but we will buy other things. So you kind of read the prospectus to see exactly what the T. Rowe Price Value Fund has. Okay? Thanks for the question. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jake from Los Angeles. How you doing, Jake?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
So I'm looking to buy into the medical device space, but I was wondering whether or not to go with maybe a mid-cap like Globus Medical, GMED, or a big giant like Stryker, SYK. Wondering your thoughts.
Let's take a look at Stryker, because I just happened to punch that one up fat first. Develops orthopedic implants, surgical instruments, imaging systems, operating room, and emergency equipment. They are a $90 billion company, so they're very large. They have been very consistent in making more money every year. Except for 2020, they dipped a little bit because of COVID. So like in 2019, they made $8.20 a share. And then 2020, $7.43. And now $9 this year and $10.30 in 2022. So they're on a very good path. Based on 2022 earnings, their PE is about 24 or so. It's a $241 stock. And 24 is not bad. That's kind of in the middle. So it's not cheap, but it's not expensive, really, based on next year's earnings. Not this year, but next year's. All the fundamentals of the company are very strong. They pay 1.8% dividend. They have a really good return on equity of 22%. Management owns 7% of the company. And that's a lot when it's a $90 billion company. It's a lot that the management owns. And mutual funds are slowly buying it. So I kind of like Stryker a lot. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Thanks, Jake. So why am I doing this podcast? Why do I do it? I like doing it for one reason. But I know a lot of people need strategies, need some help, want some answers, and it's hard to get answers. And I guarantee you, if I ask the people listening to the show and say, well, where do you get your information? Who tells you things? Can you talk to somebody? And they'll say no. Because, you know, no one really tells you or explains to you how things really work. And I'm talking about it in an unbiased way without trying to sell you something. So that's one of the things that we talk about here today. Today's trivia question concerns the story of a dramatic black swan market event. It caused a company's share value to skyrocket in one day. So that's going to be the trivia question. Since it's Friday, I also shared some brief highlights of the newsletter, the KPP Premium newsletter we send out every Friday. So how did the market do today? It had a really good day. It started off fairly broadly strong. Meaning both the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P were strong. It ended up stronger. Dow ended up 453 points, the NASDAQ up 161, and the S&P up 65. So my question is, do you think the correction is over? Because we had a more than 10% correction, not much more, but more than a 10% correction in the NASDAQ. And the Dow is only 3%. So, you know, this correction seems to be a correction targeting the big tech stocks and the tech industry over there. So we'll see. We don't know if we're done, but it's possible. We'll see. Okay. So, the weekend is here, or almost here, everybody, and we're headed into a break. So get your questions. This is Friday. Get your questions in. Get your market questions in before the end of the week. And you know we're coming up on the end of the quarter. So give me a call. We are live, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk listeners are invited to join Justin Klein as he participates in Finance Podcast Week, March 26th through the 28th. You can hear a variety of live stream panels and exclusive episodes. In fact, Justin will host a special live stream panel on Saturday, March 27th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But you've got to register in advance. Head over to podbean.com/podcastweek/finance to register. Use the code InvestTalk for a free pass.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you guys want to talk about? My focus point today concerns the question, will there be a strong demand for office space in a post-COVID return to work phase? Do you think there will be? You know, like WeWorks, did you hear that they're going public? They had 859 locations in 151 cities globally last November, okay? And their CEO claims COVID was a tailwind to their business. I don't get that at all. Is he right? We're going to dig into that. We really are. And, you know, on Fridays, I usually give you some quick rundown of some key benchmarks real fast. The two-year Treasury yield, 0.137%. Last week was 0.14, so the yield went down. The 10-year Treasury, 1.63 last week. It was 1.7, so that went down 2. Okay, so that's what we have. Gold, 1742 an ounce. Last week was 1745, so pretty much didn't do anything. Just kind of stagnant. And silver was $25.07 per ounce. Last week it was $26.21. So that went down a little bit. Oil was selling at $61. It was $60.55 last week. And the national average for gasoline, $2.86. And, of course, in California where I live, it's $3.88. You notice we're always about a dollar more than everybody else, than the average dollar. And, of course, the cheapest place was Wisconsin, $2.64. Why would Wisconsin be so cheap? Just doesn't seem right. There's no, is there oil in Wisconsin? I don't know. Okay, let's keep things moving. Go back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank to a question that came in earlier from Ohio.
Justin and Steve, love the show. This is William from Kentucky calling about an ETF. Want to get into the oil sector. Probably a little late to the game, but I still think there's a lot of upside for the U.S. world economy and going to drive oil prices higher later this year. I'm looking at an ETF, Vickers Oil Services ETF. Symbol is OIH. It looks like it's made up of oil service companies. And I did look it up at Morningstar, and it didn't give it a real good rating. I've read some reviews on it and looked at it, and it's highly recommended as a place to be if you're wanting to get in the oil sector. So just wanted to see what your thoughts were on it, and I'll listen on the podcast. Thank you.
Okay, not from Ohio, from Kentucky, but that's okay. It is OIH, is Vennig Vector Oil Services ETF, exchange-traded fund, seeking results corresponding to the Market Vector's U.S.-listed Oil Services 25 Index. Okay, so it's oil services. So my problem with oil services is that we have such a hostile governmental environment for oil companies. Now, oil services are going to be needed. They're going to be needed for a long time. And I think prices will probably go up. But I don't know if I would do this at this point. The reason why is, well, if I was to get into this kind of thing, I'd want a better dividend than 1%. I want a higher dividend pay out, because you're probably not going to have a lot of growth. You know, remember, where everybody wants to go clean energy. So all the new cars being built in the next 5-10 years from now will be almost all electric. So, you know, you got to be careful of the oil sector. Not that I'm saying you don't be in the oil sector. I think you need to be in the oil sector right now, but not this kind of, I don't know, I'm not keen on this ETF. Okay? Let's see if we can get one more quick question in before the break.
Hi, my name is Joe from San Jose. I had a question on ticker FANG, F-A-N-G. Just want to know when's a good time to get in. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, this is Diamondback Energy, symbol F-A-N-G, engaged in oil and gas exploration and production of unconventional onshore oil and gas in the Permian Basin. So, you know, fracking, right? This is another one that I would be very careful of, simply because of the hostile government again. They're going to make money this year at $7.13 after making $3.04 last year. The year before, $6.45. So next year, they're going to make $9.12 into the $75 stock. So it's fairly inexpensive, really. It is. It's, you know, what, eight and a half P.E.? I think that's pretty reasonable price. It pays a 2.1% dividend. It's a $12 billion company. I don't like the return on equity only being 4%. That's really low. But cash flow is very strong at $11.29. And I do like it pays a decent dividend. So I like it much better than the previous caller. It's not my favorite, but I like it better. Okay, you're listening to InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, and for investors, the need to remain vigilant always exists. It never ends. So the calendar says 2021, and we know there will be many changes coming. So naturally, you'll have finance and investment questions, I would think. And now your participation in the show is always very important, right? You know I say that all the time. We really want your participation. So we're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
Steve and Justin have recorded a special bonus podcast. It's a fast-paced learning podcast for the average investor. It's free, so be sure to tell your friends. It can be downloaded now at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and InvestTalk.com. Look for Rapid Fire Hour.
888-99-CHART, my focus point today about... Will there be a strong demand for office space in a post-pandemic, post-COVID environment? Now, the CEO of WeWorks thinks it will. He thinks it's going to have a huge growth spurt. And I think he will have people using WeWorks because they're flexible as far as size, office, and, you know, but I do think we have a permanent shift from workers working from home. I think we're going to see more workers working from home, even after the COVID thing is all over, everybody's vaccinated, whatever it is, and it's gone, is the way history. I think we've seen a permanent shift in works and workers, and that working from home will become more and more popular. Having said that, I also think that there'll be a lot of people using the WeWork kind of space because it lends to flexibility. For instance, my office, I have my employees, some of them work from home some days a week, and then other days a week they come to the office. But I reduce my office space because I don't need it. So I can only do that because of a flexible workspace. In other words, I can shrink it. So anyway, WeWorks is going public, but going in a different way. They're going to, special purposes acquisition company, blank check company. They're going to enter into that with a valuation of about $9 billion. Remember a couple years ago, they tried to go public and couldn't? Remember that? So that's what's happening with WeWorks. Their competitor is a place called Spaces. Now, I was in a WeWorks, and we moved to Spaces because it was cheaper. So what's really nice about these places is you can move pretty simply with everything being in the cloud these days and furniture. You don't need to earn furniture. They provide it. Pretty simple to move. You're not really tied to any one place necessarily. Anyways, Fridays are usually very busy, but we'll try to take in as many call questions as we can. This came in earlier on our anytime listener line number, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve or Justin. This is Drew from Texas. And I just wanted to know, you guys always refer to dollar cost averaging as something that is useful. I read online that a Vanguard study in 2012 stated that not dollar cost averaging and investing at one time created a 66% better return than dollar cost averaging. Now, would you recommend dollar cost averaging for younger people, say in their 20s? Because obviously they're more able to take more risk than people who are of age maybe 50 or 60s. And would you recommend dollar cost averaging for younger people or only, after you reach a certain age? Thank you.
No, I read that study too, and it's true. If you had $100,000 and you put it in right today, or you dollar cost average $100,000 over the next 2 years getting into the market, over 30 years, what would be a better return? And it would be the lump sum. But most people don't have that. This is why we recommend dollar cost averaging. Most people don't have a huge lump sum to invest. You have money coming in every month, and you take a portion of that and put it in the market. That's dollar cost averaging. And if you had a lump sum, there's reasons, depending on the economic condition you're in at the time you have that lump sum, should you dollar cost average it or should you dump it all in the market quickly? Depends on if the market's overvalued, undervalued. Are you in a recession? If you're in a recession, I dump it in right away. So it's not that simple of an answer, and I think young people should dollar cost average and consistently keep putting money in the market as they earn it, and they should keep increasing it as they earn more and more money. So that's what I think you should do. Okay, 888-99-CHART. Let's squeeze in another call. Quick question before the break.
Hey, Justin. Hey, Steve. I love the show. My name is Aiden. I'm calling from San Diego. Just wanted to see what you guys thought about Grupo Televisa. The ticker symbol is TV, Tom Victor. Looking to buy some shares. Wanted to see what you guys thought. Thanks so much. I love the show. Bye.
My dad was in the Navy, so I grew up in San Diego. He was stationed there, so I know San Diego very, very well. Went to high school, junior high, elementary, junior high, high school, and college, first 2 years anyways, in San Diego. Anyways, great place. So let's take a look at TV. T as in Tom, V as in Victor. I'm buying time because I got to add it. Okay, Grupo Televisa, a Mexican company, produces and broadcasts Spanish language television programs in Mexico and the United States. They're going to make 39 cents a share this year and then 40 cents a share next year. It's a $9.55 stock. Okay, so it's about, what, 22, 23 P.E.? Their sales are shrinking, have been shrinking for 2 years. No, I wouldn't buy their stock. There's no reason to own this company. There really isn't. So, no. TV. Okay, as we go to break here, I have a trivia question. Black swan events are scenarios where a company encounters unpredictable experiences. They call it a black swan event. Can you name the dramatic black swan event that caused the share price of one company to skyrocket by more than 93% in one day? Hint, the situation involved an auto company. After break, I will supply the answer, but for now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage you to give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
My question has to do with insuring residential rental properties.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
What do you think a target price to get in would be?
You're the best person to ask it. 888-99-CHART.
The prosperous future you envision for yourself and your family will not happen without strategic planning and definitive action.
I'm in my early 20s and I'm thinking of doing something that every article I read says not to.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk.
I noticed it took quite a fall.
But opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely.
We got a lot of things cooking out there that the market has to think about.
To invest strategically.
It needs to consolidate.
To prevail, serious investors need a balanced combination of realistic market education and unbiased guidance. KPP Financial Principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein host a unique weekday finance and investment program and podcast, Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Steve Peasley is here now, and he's ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. I asked a trivia question before the break. Can you name the dramatic black swan event that caused the share price of one company to skyrocket by 93% in one day? Hint, the situation involved an auto company. Black swan events can help or harm a company. When a black swan event occurs, investors realize that their prior expectations were way off base, resulting in short-term volatility. You know, short-term volatility is not bad. It just is. Now, the question is, can you take advantage of it? So, in one of the biggest black swan short squeezes of all time, automaker Volkswagen became the world's priciest firm over the course of a single trading day. Just before this massive spike, Volkswagen was widely believed to be an independently owned entity. The market held an overwhelmingly bearish outlook on its prospects, and the stock consequently fell victim to an unusually high number of short sellers. Remember, short sellers are selling the stock hoping it'll go down. And then they borrowed it, the stock, sold it at a higher price, hoping it'll go down, then they'll give it back at a lower price. That's what short sellers do. October 28, 2008, carmaker Porsche suddenly announced it held a 74% ownership share in Volkswagen, which it had recently acquired through derivatives trading. Porsche abruptly took over Volkswagen's operations, and soon after, institutional and individual investors alike scrambled to liquidate their short positions. When you have to get out of a short position to get out, you have to buy the stock back, return the person you bought. So when you buy the stock back and there's a ton of people shorting, okay, didn't we just have that with whatever that company's name, you know, the video company. GameStop. Thank you. Yeah, GameStop. Senior moment. So we just had that same situation, right? Short sellers are short. They need to buy the stock to get out of the short because if price goes up, they're losing more and more money and they got to get out. So they buy it, driving stock even up higher. Boom. That's what happens with short selling. Be very careful. Don't mess around with short selling. It's just not, do that to the professionals. Anyways, interesting story, I thought. We've got a good pace going, so no reason to slow down. So here's another Invest Talk caller question from Minneapolis, I hope.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Selena from Minneapolis. I have about $45,000 in cash right now. I'm looking to probably invest it in purchasing a home, but I'm not quite ready yet. I'm thinking in like a year or two, hopefully the market will come down. My question to you is, would it be wise to invest it in an individual stock market brokerage account in high paying dividend, large value, blue chip stocks, low risk, hopefully be able to use that money as a down payment in about 2 years? Or would it be better to just leave it in cash in like a CD or something like that? I'm looking forward to hearing your answer on the show, and thank you very much for all that you do. Bye.
Okay, even though you're considering buying big blue chip dividend paying stocks, and that would be quote unquote safer than other parts of the stock market, it's still not safe. It's risky. So when anybody talks to me about their house money, the money they're saving to buy a house, I tell them to stay away from the stock market. Okay, because you're going to need that money. You don't, what happens in 2 years from now, the housing market fell down and the money you invested in the stock market got cut in half because we're in a recession. You can't take advantage of the housing market because you just lost half your money. So no. If you're going to need that money within the next few years for buying a house, I'd stay away from the stock market. Leave it safe. I think that's the smartest thing to do. I've seen too many disasters in my lifetime. Okay. The KPP Premium Newsletter went out. Goes out every Friday, as you know. Market condition section, I explained early in the week, February housing numbers were released, and they were disappointing, but not unexpected. We had bad weather in February, so the economic numbers coming out for the month of February sure don't look very good. So the housing is no difference. I mean, the existing home sales went from 6.6 down to 6.2 million. The new construction went from 948,000 to 775,000. So we're thinking we might get a bounce back in March. And other parts of the economy, durable goods report, different reports were also kind of weak. But remember, it was February. Two things, weather and the Coronas bonus money that President Trump gave everybody was already spent February, spent in January and earlier. And, of course, we didn't get the new checks out from the new stimulus, and they're just rolling out now. So February wasn't that great. And March, we don't know yet. March might be better because they started reopening the economy nationwide, right? Because the COVID numbers are going down. So we'll see. Okay, so that was in the main section of the newsletter. Portfolio management section. History has taught us that the stock market itself is not the best indicator of the future of future movement in stock prices. The bond market is. So I went on to talk about the bond market a little bit. And it is interesting. The bond traders and bond investors seem to fairly consistently predict the direction of the stock market and of the economy. So it looks like they might be a leading economic indicator. We've talked about this before, but there's only one indicator, many, that you have to look at. Okay, stock ideas. I talked about dividend-paying stocks. I gave a couple of big-name ideas, big names because of the dividends. And, you know, we're looking at value stocks. And, you know, when do you buy value stocks? Remember, you're not going to get a huge capital appreciation on big dividend-paying value stocks. You're not. So you want to buy them right. You don't want to buy them when they're overvalued. Okay? Let's see. Also, I talked about in the Consumer Watch section, there's been a rise in many cities which have become so expensive. You know, the cost of housing is so expensive. Is there any place left that's still very reasonable or reasonable? And I mentioned a couple of places, Ogden, Utah, the average value of a house, $258,000, and they're growing at 8%, the value. Melbourne, Florida, $253,000, they're growing at 7.6%, and several others. So, where are you going to retire to? Are you going to retire where you live, or you decide? I have my wife's best friend, lived in Boston. He worked in Boston for years and years, and he retired to Georgia. Much less costs and a very nice place. So where are you going to retire to? Or are you going to leave at all? So, and when you do make that decision, make sure you're very comfortable leaving your grandchildren. Not your children, your grandchildren, if you have any. Because that is very... You know, my experience with clients is that they want to be near their grandchildren. Very, very important. I think it's super important. I don't have any kids. I won't have any grandchildren, but I got lots and lots of nieces and nephews, and I want to be around them as they grow up and have their own families. So anyway, I would love you to subscribe to our newsletter. You can do that by just going to investtalk.com. You'll see, follow the links. You'll see it. So let's grab another caller question, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin, this is Aaron in Nashville, Tennessee, and I had a question about ticker symbol VALE, Vail. I'm looking to add this to my portfolio as a commodity EV play with the nickel mining, and I was just wondering if this is a good price. I see that it's the PE ratio looks kind of tempting, and just wanted to hear your thoughts. Thanks a lot.
I hear Nashville, Tennessee, or Tennessee in and of itself, is a great place to retire to, by the way. I have two relatives, one who moved there a couple of years ago, one who's retiring to Tennessee. So we'll have to check that out. I don't think I'm moving, but you never know. Okay, Vale, SA, it's an ADR, everybody, out of Brazil. Brazilian company engaged in the mining and exploration of minerals in Brazil and five other countries. So it's an $85 billion company. It's not small. So it's in the area that I think, commodities area, that I think is going to be, we're in a super cycle of commodity. I think we're in a cycle that's going to last several years, maybe 10 years. I don't know. It's tough to know. They're going to make $3.89 this year after making 95 cents last year per share. It's a $16.74 stock. So you can see how inexpensive that is. Okay, what, 6 P.E.? Now, don't get excited. The low, a five-year low in their P is 4. So, but that is pretty low. Return on equity is 13%. They're growing before the most recent quarter, the December quarter, they were growing or shrinking in single digits. In December quarter, they grew 48%. Sales grew 48%. So you can tell that they're going to be on a pretty strong trajectory. They pay 6.8% dividend. My only concern is it's out of Brazil, and you know their politics in Brazil can interfere with the valuation of stocks, and that's probably why it's so low. But I kind of like it. It's so inexpensive. I like that. okay? I encourage you to take advantage of our offer, by the way, on a free portfolio review assessment. You know, we talk about it all quite often. You know, one of the things we do here at KPP Financial, I invest in the exact same stocks, same percentage, same time as my clients in the various programs we have. So I put my money where my mouth is. Okay, so my performance reflects the client's performance. So if you're interested, give a call to KPP Financial Offices in Irvine, California. And, of course, there is no obligation. If you just want us to look at your portfolio, we'll do that. We will. So you'll notice, after speaking with us for 10 minutes or so, you'll begin to see how Justin and I, you know, are different than other companies. We don't push. We just don't. Okay, we can help you. If you need help, we want to help you, we can help you. Even if you don't become a client, we'll still help you. Okay? Okay, we got another caller question up next. You too should give me a call. Ask your questions. 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk listeners are invited to join Justin Klein as he participates in Finance Podcast Week, March 26th through March 28th. You can hear a variety of live stream panels and exclusive episodes. Panel discussions include topics such as real estate, the markets, cryptocurrency, personal finance in the pandemic, the money mindset, and more. Justin's special live stream panel will be presented on Saturday, March 27th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So head over to podbean.com/podcastweek/finance to register. We've allocated free passes for the first 100 people to register. Use the code InvestTalk for a free pass. So head over to podbean.com/podcastweek/finance. Hurry, registration ends March 26th.
Hey there, Gabriel from Texas calling. Thank you for everything your team does and for making me financially confident. I'm 22, have a little over $10,000 in my diversified Roth IRA. My two questions are if you can shed some more light on if there's any tax penalties on pulling out initial contributions, not that I plan to, and in your opinion, what percentage of my portfolio should be reserved on the side for, you know, buying dips and stuff. Thank you again.
Okay. No, stay in the market. You stay in the market, stay fully invested. At this point, I don't think you should have very much at all on the sidelines, but generally, we like to have, you know, at least 5% ready to invest at any one time. And we'll grow that. You know, if we feel a recession is imminent, that might go to 20%. But generally speaking, you want to stay fully invested as much as possible. Now, that means you rebalance, though. Doesn't mean you just sit and never do anything. You rebalance your portfolio if certain stocks go too high or get out of line. Yeah, you got to at least be aware of the cycles of the market and what sectors are leading and why. You can't just be ignorant of what's happening. Okay, let me rephrase that. You can be ignorant of what's happening, and you can just stay and buy and hold and never bother that portfolio for 30 years. You could do that, and you'll be fine, as long as you have a diversified portfolio. Maybe the indexes. You'll be fine. But if you want to be a little sharper, you should be paying attention. And whenever we get into recession, invest more money. Whenever you're really, really happy and your stocks have done really, really well, take a little off the top. Put it aside, like for a rainy day, to invest in stocks later on. That would be a wise thing to do. Okay? Good question, though. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. We have one goal here, never changes, and it's help you achieve financial freedom. And, of course, the work will continue after this break. So get your questions in, 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
I'm calling to ask you opinion on an ETF called XLI.
And the question is, during a market downturn, do dividends stay fairly steady?
And I've got a question about warrant shares. I think that's the right term.
A warrant is a right to buy shares of stocks at a certain price.
What's your question? Now is a good time to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume, because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Brian. I am a new investor. A few years ago, I started investing, and then I started my own business. So I pulled out all my money that I invested, and I was doing zero investing. I'm considering myself a new investor because about a few weeks ago, I decided I want to start investing again and taking some money out of my business. So I'm looking to build a portfolio. I'm not looking for the most basic type of investment where it's the least risk, because I am looking to make some high returns, but at the same time, I'm not looking to risk losing significant amount of money. I'm looking to save up to buy a house maybe within the next year. So I'm going to be putting a lot of money in, but, you know, rather my money work than just sitting in an account doing absolutely nothing. So if you can please advise on how to go about it, which stocks I should be looking into, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I would look at value stocks, of course, and dividend-paying stocks, because they are safer, but they're not safe, as I said earlier. If it's house money, I don't think you should invest in the stock market at all. I think you should have that money set aside for the house. Invest money in the market that you want to invest long-term. Okay, a year or two, what happens, as I said before, if we're in a recession in 2 years? Your money gets cut in half or a third or whatever, and that's the time you want to use the money to buy the house. So the stock market is a risky place to be, no matter where you go, no matter how much safety you think you have. There is no safety in the stock market. It's risky. Risky, even in the most safe stocks. You want some examples of how that happens? How about GM filing bankruptcy in 2008 or 9? I don't remember what year. Every stockholder, GM, General Motors, every stockholder lost everything. GM, been around 100-plus years. Do you think it's safe? Or GE. Look at GE over the years. What happened to them? GE used to be the perennial buy GE. That's your grandfather's stock that you just never have to sell. Well, some more. How about current examples? What do you think ExxonMobil and Chevron are going to be 10, 20 years from now, when every car out there is going to be, every new car will be electric? At least that's what the goal is, right? Politically. What do you think the oil companies are going to do? See, so you can't say stocks are safe. I never say that. Okay, we're coming down to the wire. The weekend is here. I think we have just enough time for one more question. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Jim in Concord. Love your show, you and Steve, you and Justin. Thanks for all the knowledge. I have a question. I need to know, how does the warranty work? Instead of buying the stock, do I buy the stock and the warranty, or just the stock itself? I'd like to know how the warranty works. I'll take your answer on the podcast. Thank you.
I think you're talking about warrants, not warranty. Warrants. Warrants can be, you know, especially if you're a new IPO, sometimes you buy a stock, they'll give you warrants. Warrants is the right to buy the stock at a certain price within a certain period of time. Okay, so if you buy a stock or buying a warrant, and you can trade warrants to other people too, you can trade them. It is a right to buy a certain number of shares at a certain price over a certain period. That's generally how the warrants work. Not every stock. Matter of fact, very few warrants are issued. But they are common. They are fairly common with mediocre IPOs to attract people to the IPO. Here, you buy 10,000 shares, we'll give you 1,000 share warrants at this price, at this time, blah, blah, blah. Because the warrants are a fraction of the cost of the actual shares. You know, you get them for free, but they have a value, right? They would, based on the, you know, how long the warrants left, what the strike price is, all those things, like an option kind of thing. Okay? So, Good question, though. And they're called warrants, not warranty. Warrants. I'm Steve Peasley, and that completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. We post a new program each weekday shortly after the end of our live streaming broadcast, which concludes at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Get your free downloads anytime, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, InvestTalk.com. I appreciate if you rated us as well. Independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.